The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Settles right in your soul, and so should this. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature, nature's God, entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa at Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. I'm here with my producer, Liam. How are you, Liam?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th.
Broadcasting live from 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, your talk radio in downtown Reading and Shasta County, with a continual soiree of liberty. You can also stream us live at KCNR1460.com, and we archive about 10 minutes after this program is over. You can go back and listen to this program and share it. I know there are a lot of you listening from outside Shasta County today. The folks in Shasta County are pretty well educated in the Constitution in general, maybe more educated than most counties, but they certainly have a good education on it. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk about how we get this back. Kevin Cry was just on a program previously and made some good points. We need to take back local control. Well, how do you do that? So let's just talk about that a minute. Let's go back to what Jefferson wrote. We hold these truths to be self-evident. What a great word. Self-evident. That means that the proof is that in itself it exists. It needs no proof. What a great word. And then he talks about that to secure these rights, the powers and consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Remember that it says that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say those are the only rights we have. It says among these rights, because our rights are God-given. We have God-given rights. Remember the word inalienable that is used. We have inalienable rights. That means they come from God. If rights come from God, who can take them away? God. If rights come from man, who can take them away? Man. We do not have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights that are pre-constitution. And these God-given rights are protected by the Constitution of the United States. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about, so people really understand how this works. We have been trained now to have an inverted hierarchy. We think that the president, that Homeland Security, we think that the government is in control of us. That doesn't make us citizens. It makes us slaves. You see, we've had that inverted even by people with good intentions from Fox News. You hear about the government and the federal government and the this and the that, and we have allowed that as a people. The hierarchy is pretty simple. God creates man. Man creates society. Man's society creates government. So as you look at the hierarchy, you have to understand that each step down you have less power. I mean, how many people believe that we're beneath the government? I would say a majority of people in America. Well, that just means we're slaves. We're subjects to rulers. Remember, government's only purpose is to secure the right of the governed. And remember, we are deriving, the government only derives their just power from the consent of the governed. So, as we look at this and try to understand it, we have to realize that really and truly, when you look at what we have with the people who are delegating power, what does it mean to delegate power? Well, you don't delegate power, okay? If you're not the delegator. So what does delegate mean? It means a temporary trust of responsibility or authority by a higher power to a lower power. Well, who gave the responsibility to the federal government? Who's the higher power? The states. So let's go back in time. 13 states, crossing the borders, coining different money, shooting each other over everything, having different laws, and they could be under threat by Great Britain or France or somebody. They have no way to protect themselves. So the states get together, and remember the word state is a very interesting word. When Jefferson talked about state, he said the state of Virginia is likened to the state of Spain, France, or Great Britain, which means that the word state is synonymous with what? A nation. It is a nation. It is a country, a legitimate country. And so what happened is that these 13 states got together and they formed what is called a compact, not a contract. A compact is an agreement. And it's different than a contract because a compact is between legally sovereign governments. So these legally sovereign governments got together with a compact and they said, hey, we need to create this thing called the Constitution. We need to create a federal government. We have to have one here. So let's create it. Now remember that the states created the federal government. The federal government is the creation of the states. They're not in contract or compact with the states. The states control the federal government and should control it because anything that is not delegated to the states, you can't delegate if you're not the delegator. That's not delegated to the federal government, you can't delegate unless you're the delegator. So if you're delegating to the federal government, it means you're a higher power, which the states are. So the delegation comes to the federal government, and what's not delegated to the federal government goes back to who? The states and the people. So, as we look at this, they get together, they form this compact, and they form the federal government. Now, in forming the federal government, there are certain things the government can do and can't do. We have a thing called an amendment, and the several states are together, and they're saying, you know what, if we don't like what you're doing, federal government, that we have delegated to you, what we will do is a little thing called an amendment. And the amendment will be put forward by two-thirds of the states, and if three-quarters of the two-thirds say they want the amendment or they want to change something, then if they say they want you to change something, then you can't do that anymore. Who is the higher power? So the understanding of that is very similar to what Kevin Cry was talking about in the first part of his program this morning. The people have the power. The problem we have is that we don't know how to use the power or that our power gets usurped. We've had a governor that has broken the law. He's broken his oath of office. He's broken the law. He's created a thing called a sanctuary state and a sanctuary city, which is illegal. In Article 20, our government people and our senators, state senators, and our state assembly people take an oath of office in Article 20. And they take an oath to the Constitution of the United States first, then they take an oath to the California Constitution. Now, the thing that we have to remember is that the state of California is an inseparable part of the United States of America, and the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That's Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution. Now, what that says is basically, as we go back to the states creating the federal government, that if, in fact, what we delegated as the higher power, as the states, to the federal government, whatever we gave them to do in the Constitution of the United States, according to Article 3, Section 1 of the state of California, trumps any law or anything that the California Constitution or the legislative body tries to put in the California Constitution, because the state of California is an inseparable part of the United States of America, and the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Article 3, Section 1. So what happened here is that Governor Newsom broke his oath of office. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, United States Constitution. We gave, as one of those delegated powers, to the federal government, naturalization. So immigration is not the jurisdiction of the governor. Now, I know a lot of you folks are listening from out of town. Three words to remember: jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. Who has jurisdiction over what? When we have an elected official, or we have someone that holds an office of some kind, they have jurisdiction over certain things. When you have jurisdiction, then you can, your job as the government, remember, any government job, is to do what? Protect the rights of the sovereign. So, as someone who has jurisdiction over a certain issue or thing, they can interpose, stand between that right, their jurisdiction, which they have, and anything that a tyrannical government's trying to do, and therefore nullify it. Jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. So let's go back to what we were talking about as far as Newsom goes. He's broken his oath of office in Article 20 of the California Constitution. He has violated the Constitution of California in Article 3, Section 1, but here's the kicker. He's violated the United States Code. He's violated the law. Title 8, Code Section 1324, specifically states that harboring and shielding an illegal alien is a felony. Gavin Newsom's a felon. Now, I'm going to bring something in real quick and just kind of throw this in there for you folks. You're trying to recall Kevin Cry. He's been in office for, what, 5-6 months? Saying that he's spending all his money. He hasn't spent anything. The real reason that you want to recall Kevin Cry in Shasta County is because you know you can't recall Patrick Jones, who's standing for liberty and is a fiscal conservative. So you're trying to go after what you think is the weakest link. I think you're going to have a little bit of a battle there. But here's the worst part. The worst part is the lying of the people who want to recall Kevin Cry. The governor will appoint a supervisor in Shasta County. Well, he may not. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. They're passing laws left and right. In the last program, you heard about AB 969. You heard about it. You heard about what's going on with that. They're changing every law they can because Shasta County's standing up. Shasta County has already gotten rid of one supervisor who basically was charged by the grand jury for malfeasance. I believe that was the main thing, because what he did is he used government people, the sheriff's department, to go up and turn on the generator at his home, go up and get wine up there during the car fire, when he had come out openly and said, anybody that crosses the line here to do any of the stuff that I'm sending the sheriff to do and the sheriff's department to do, anybody that crosses that line is going to be arrested, except for me, because I have special privileges. I can even go back and save wine. Well, it was lowered to a misfeasance, and there was an attorney in Sacramento who made a statement at a Board of Supervisor meeting saying that he didn't even know what a misfeasance was. He had never heard of it. The guy's a criminal attorney. Okay, so here's the deal. The deal is that how much of this corruption are we going to take? How much more are you going to take? The state is violating all kinds of different things. So back to Gavin Newsom. Okay, that's one thing he's violated. Totally. Title 8, Code Section 1324. What else has he violated? Well, if you look at the United States Constitution, he's also violated Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4. You cannot make, no state can make, any agreement or treaty without consent of who? Excuse me, not treaty, contract. I apologize. With any other state or any country without what? Congress's approval. We have four perfectly good dams that have been collaborated on at the time between Governor Brown and Governor Brown in Oregon. That's a violation. And since Newsom is continuing that, he's violated Article 1, Section 10, Clause 4, again, violated Article 20 of the California Constitution. He's violated his oath of office. We just had a situation with school boards in Temecula. The Temecula School Board, and there's a very good interview with Jen, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. It's Jen Wiersum, W-I-E-R-S-M. It is on Mountaintop Media. The interviewers are Leslie and Katie. They did the interview of this lady, and she is from the Temecula School District, and their board said, we're not teaching critical race theory anymore. We are canceling Harvey Milk Day, and we're changing social studies not to include some of these horrendous things that have been passed into law by the state of California, because we have what? Jurisdiction over curriculum. School board has jurisdiction over curriculum. So this school board stood between, interposed, between their jurisdiction and what the people wanted and the government, and they nullified the curriculum to suit what the people wanted in their school district. 20,000 kids it affected. What did Newsom do? You know what? You're going to teach what I want you to teach. So now Newsom's in the process of saying, what we're going to do is we're going to have a school board. I'm guessing it's going to be the county board of education in each county. One of the new things is the school curriculum will be set by the state. What's wrong with the sentence, state-sponsored, state-run, government-run schools? What's wrong with those sentences? Seriously, folks, we're going to fix that? We're going to fix that? How do you fix that? Newsom comes out and says, you're going to teach what I want you to teach. He comes out and says, you know, AB 957, he comes out and says, you know, unless you affirm the gender of your kid, we're going to consider that abuse and arrest the parents. And if you, you know, if we have a kid that needs counseling that we believe in the state, we believe they need counseling, and they want to have a sex change operation, then we're going to take them, and you won't let them, then we're going to take them out of your home and put them into a placement shelter. That's AB 665. California cannot be fixed. We need a state split, whether it's three, four states, whatever, or pull your kids out of school. You're not going to fix the school system. Pull them out. There's no other choice. There isn't another choice. If the school boards now don't have jurisdiction and soon won't have jurisdiction to even have any effect on curriculum, what's the point? That's the whole point, is the state is taking away your rights unconstitutionally, breaking the law. Isn't it kidnapping to take a kid out of school? 2010, Senate Bill 543. This is law. This is law, folks. 2010, Senate Bill 543, allows school staff to remove children age 12 and older from government schools and take them off campus for counseling sessions without parental permission or involvement. That leads you right into 957 and 665, doesn't it? Without your permission, folks. And it's okay with you, parents. I don't care whether you're Democrats, Republicans, you know, you belong to the party of Easter Bunny. Doesn't really matter. Is that okay with you? 2011, Senate Bill 48, mandates. Now remember, as Kevin said on the last program, when there's mandates, we can kind of make the state pay for it. And hopefully we start doing that. I'll get into that in the second half of this program. But mandates that children in grades kindergarten through 12 in all instruction and social sciences admire the role and contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. Public schools in California must, that's a must, implement the requirements through supplemental materials, handouts, homosexual biographies, classroom discussions, essays and other homework, outside speakers, drag queen story time, videos and dramas. I mean, okay, but why are we teaching in school about those kinds of things? Is that what school's about? Is that what schools should be doing? How much government do we need in schools? SB 71, passed in 2003. New sexual health standards teaches children in grades 5 through 12 that any consensual sexual behavior is safe as long as you protect yourself with a condom. Teaches that homosexuality, bisexuality, and transsexuality are normal. Now, I have nothing at all against the gay community. I would hope the gay community doesn't have anything against the heterosexual community. When you look at that, I just don't want their ideas forced on my children or grandchildren, just like they probably don't want our ideas forced on their children or grandchildren. So why is it even in the schools? Why do we even let that happen? Think about delegation. Think about what we talked about earlier in the program. Think about how we talked about that the delegation can only be done from a higher power. Remember, delegate means a temporary trust of responsibility or authority by a higher power to a lower power. That's why we have amendments, right? Because if we want to change what we gave them responsibility to do, we amend whatever document that is. Now, understand something else here. As we look at all these different things that are not delegated, how about the BLM? Is that delegated to the United States government to do? How is that delegated through the Constitution? The answer to that is no. Is the EPA? Is Homeland Security? Is the Department of Education? How about the Department of Interior? I mean, think about it. The federal government is like a foreign power. It's a creation of the states. Now, we've had some very favorable Supreme Court rulings of late, or, excuse me, opinions of late. It's Roe versus Wade, for example. Well, the Supreme Court saying, hey, federal government ain't your job, man. Ain't your job. Nope. Nope. That power belongs to the states. It's not delegated to you, federal government. So where do we stand up? The first thing we have to do is understand as we go on here, and we'll be doing this for the next couple of weeks. We also are going to have many, many, many short podcasts on Mountaintop Media. And I think that these podcasts are going to be very, very important when it comes to the understanding and education of all these very intricate things that the government's trying to do to us, how they are illegal. They have broken the law. So with that, I'm going to go off to our first break. Richard, if you'd hold on, buddy, I'll bring you up after the break, but we're going to go to our first break. Time has come for 51.
It's Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Vibra plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Yep. God bless the USA. Yep. Anyway, before we go on with a couple of other things I want to bring up, I want to bring in Richard. How are you, my friend? What's going on?
Good morning. How's my volume?
Fine.
I have two or three things, maybe four. I go quick as I can. First, I want to commend Kevin Cry for espousing and invoking the California Constitution, all political power is inherent in the people. That is beautiful. I hope, I'm sure our conservative board majority likely agrees with that sentiment. I would just hope that, you know, that would be more verbalized in a more public manner, especially at a board meeting, because, you know, our fellow citizens need this education, as you well know. And when you embrace those principles, such as Kevin has this morning, you know, your actions and your words usually follow your principles and your morals and your ethics. So I thought that was a great thing that he mentioned out this morning. Okay, am I here?
Yeah, go ahead. All right.
I just was wondering if you had a comment on that.
Nope.
But,
Well, I do, basically. I mean, we can say all we want about the California Constitution, United States Constitution, but Richard, the Constitution is just a piece of paper unless we enforce it and use it. And the thing is that you have to enforce it on a local level, and I was getting to that, but go ahead.
So the next time I want to talk about California continuing to retaliate against Shasta County, there's a bill pending right now after the Gateway School Board took power. Changed. They immediately fired their superintendent. There's a bill pending after that occurred to now prohibit a school board from firing their superintendent in the first 30 days after an election cycle. So, you know, that's nothing but retaliation. And here's another one, because you're talking about the school and the mandated curriculum. Assembly Bill 1078, it's pending right now, was just revised last week. And, of course, it talks about mandatory LGBT curriculum, yada, yada. Here's Here's the key. Amended last week. If a school fails to issue such textbooks or mandated curriculum, the bill will reduce the school district's local control funding formula. They will take money away from the school if they refuse or fail to provide mandated curriculum and instruction materials in this bill, especially talking about LGBTQ stuff. So now they're going to punish the schools who want to push back on this type of instruction. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Newsom's going to pass a law I just talked about already. He's going to pass it where here's the thing. This is what they're trying to use. See, anything not delegated to the federal government, right, is delegated to the states. The states have power over it unless they delegate it. So what happens is that we have the Department of Education, which is illegal. It's unconstitutional. The federal government has no right to create that. No right. And frankly, if in fact it's not in the California Constitution anywhere, the California Constitution, because of Article 3, Section 1, has no right to put that in either. But here's the deal. We're not going to fix the school systems. You don't fix the school systems. You pull your kids out of school. I mean, there's nothing else you really can do. You know, if you have a situation where, you know, we the people of the state of California are grateful to Almighty God for our freedom,
yeah,
in order to secure and perpetuate the blessings established this Constitution. And the people have the right to instruct their representatives, petition government, and redress grievances and assembly freely,
no,
to consult for the common good. That's Section 3, Article 1. Now, here's the deal. The deal is that as long as we comply, we're going to lose. And we can't comply to tyranny. You don't submit to tyranny. We have to stop saying constitutional rights, because they're God-given rights protected by the Constitution. And we have to stop saying, oh, we won't comply. No, you would comply with something that has even, you can comply with something that has legitimacy. There is no legitimacy,
yeah,
in tyranny. We don't submit.
Yeah.
So we have to get our thinking. I know I'm preaching to the choir when I'm talking about this, but that's what I think about that. Now, something that, you know, and I'll get into something else here in a minute, because I have to explain on the Constitution briefly where the Constitution comes from, where Jefferson got his ideas. But anyway, go ahead, my friend.
So my point to this is California continues to retaliate against Shasta County, and in this case, any school board that wants to push back against these immoral teachings. If our school district, 26 of them or so, would all get together and say, no, we're going to get together and we're not going to follow these immoral curriculums, it's not likely that the state would pull the funding from all of the districts, especially at the same time for the same purpose. That would be very politically unpalatable, even for the criminals in Sacramento.
Do you think there's any rhyme or reason or logic? Well, maybe that's the wrong terminology. Do you really think it's kind of like, okay, that this new bill, AB 957, which I know is near and dear to your heart about, you know, unless you affirm gender, you know, it's child abuse and blah, 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 blah. Okay, and even 969 when they're talking about the machines and blah, 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 blah. Well, I got a note from the Election Integrity Project of California, and it gave me different senators to contact. Every senator on that list was a Democrat. The other thing about that is that they wanted people to call in, because as we all know, if you mail a letter to them, they look at the zip code and it goes right to whoever your particular assembly person is or state senator is, depending on who you sent it to. So that's a nothing burger, but let's look at reality. And I know that, and that's one of the things I love about you, Richard, is you look at things, you dive into them, and you say, yeah, this is where we need to go. That's why I call you Stones. Here's the game.
Thanks. Thank you. And I have one last topic.
Well, I want to get this. I'll keep you on because I want to get this.
Okay.
I want to get your take on this. Okay. So I talked to David Fennell, who ran for lieutenant governor about 4 or 5 weeks ago now. He said he visited every county, and he said there's a big red wave coming. The problem is that when you look at the Senate of the state of California, we used to have 29 Democrats and 11 Republicans. But now, after this great red wave, we have 32 Democratic senators and we have 8 Republicans. In the Assembly, we have 63 Democrats and 17 Republicans, 4 of which those Republicans vote a lot of times with the Democrats. You cannot fix California. There is no, oh, let's save California. There is no saving it in its present state. You cannot do it. It's an impossibility. Why would, if the Democrats are pushing through these laws left and right, and you know better than anybody, Richard, you see them coming through all the time. Thank you for enlightening a lot of us on what's going on all the time. You're not going to stop this unless you have a state split or several state splits. And we have to also start, as you said, as a county, right in the counties, local government, local government, local government, and take the counties and say, no, we won't submit, as you say, and you're right, Richard. Get the school boards together and say, this is what we're teaching. Too bad. Too bad. Oh, you're not going to fund us? Oh, okay. This is what we're teaching. Well, then I guess we all go home. And you're right. Are they going to pull all the money, or is it a bluff? Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with all that. So my last topic is I'm going to be now pushing in the public arena on the radio next Saturday, on a special Mountaintop Media podcast also next Saturday. I want to start pushing the idea for public consumption on splitting our countywide ballots, physically printing separate countywide ballots for all of our elections. The study I've done, and several people have done, in the last couple of years, you know, since the first recall, where we all learned a lot about our election laws, the elections are lost. The state elections are lost. The federal elections are lost. They're gone. They're 99% fraudulent. The fraud is ingrained in the law. We are not going to save, just like you say, we're not going to save the state. Well, that also means we're not going to save the state elections. And so we're going to have to, we need to separate our county ballots. We need to take full control, 100% control of our county-wide elections. We have plenty of money. There's plenty of money in general fund to do this. There's bloated contracts to cut. And as of this moment, there's no law that says we cannot separate the ballots. And unfortunately, the window is closing very quickly.
Yeah, you better hope they're not listening to our radio program.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are. The opposition listens to all of the alternative media in Shasta County. You know they do.
Yes, sir.
But my point is, we can start this process now.
Yes.
And it will be in place for the March primary. So we have to start this process now.
Richard,
my humble opinion, with my study that I've done with the laws, this is our only way to save any semblance of any fair and transparent election.
Okay, on Mountaintop Media, are you going? Is it going to be We the Parents? Is that the program you're going to be on, or are we putting you on a special report so I can get the word out?
I believe it's going to be special report.
Okay.
I have not confirmed that. But
well, let me do this. I'll make sure.
Saturday.
Okay, I'll make sure that it goes on special report, okay? That way we get you both on We the Parents and special report. That'll give you exposure on two of the programs. How's that sound?
No, I appreciate that.
Sure,
we have to educate our public to embrace this idea of separating our countywide ballots specifically. But did you know, I forgot the election code number. I read it yesterday. I believe it's 15302 or so. We don't even report countywide election results to the Secretary of State. They don't care. We don't even report them to the Secretary of State. So that means, well, I don't think the Secretary of State really has a vested interest in our countywide elections. Another legitimate reason to separate our countywide ballots and take 100% control of our countywide elections, because as you well know, this is how we take our country back, with one county at a time.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate the time today, sir.
All right, my friend. I'll make sure that we get the word out on special report. And thanks for all you do, Richard.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so, you know, Richard brought up a good point, especially about, doing the last process he talked about. One of the things I think we have to realize is, again, we go back to jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. The Board of Supervisors has jurisdiction over the machines in your county, folks. Fresno, Santa Clara, San Mateo, etc. you guys need to understand that your board of supervisors has that jurisdiction. Now, here's something I've heard over the last week from several counties in the southern part of the state, or the mid to southern part. I've heard that we got one supervisor who really is wanting to do this, and maybe two. Well, gee whiz, if they really want to do it, how come they haven't put it on the regular calendar on their board of supervisor meeting as a discussion item, not an action item, but a discussion item to discuss the anomalies of the Dominion machine and whether they should keep it or not? How come they haven't even put that on there? Now, it's just a discussion item. No pressure. So if you really have somebody in your county, and you really have somebody in the counties down there that wants to do that, or two people, why doesn't it go into discussion? And something else for you folks, you have to understand something. You just don't have your 3 minutes of the public comment. You can speak on any regular calendar item or consent item calendar, and you get 3 minutes each time. So if there's 20 regular calendar items, that's the one that says R1, R2, R3, blah, 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 blah. If you want to talk on three of them, you can for 3 minutes each time. Same thing with consent. So you aren't just limited. And also, I asked many counties that I talked to, okay, who's the chairman of your board? They don't know. Well, you've got to know who the chairman of your board is, because if, in fact, with most counties, when a board member has a suggestion to go on the agenda for the next meeting, it has to be cleared through the chairman of the board. So we have to start getting educated on this stuff. And I'm hoping that any of you folks out there that are listening to this, that you will send the link to this so that people in other counties can listen to the archive of this, because I think we brought forth a little bit of education. I'm going to give you a little bit more right here. A lot of people think, well, you know, what happened with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? Did this all just sort of come out of thin air? Well, no, it started in 1100 with a thing called the Charter of Liberties. Henry I actually formally bound himself to the law. That was in 1100. Then 1215 was the Magna Carta. That virtually forced, I mean really forced, King John to recognize basic liberties and due process of law. 1628, the Petition of Rights. Okay, no imprisonment without cause. No quartering of soldiers on subjects. No martial law in peacetime. Those are some of the things. No taxation without representation. And so those were some of the things that were brought up by the Petition of Rights in 1641, the Grand Remonstrance. That was the right to veto over Crown's appointments. The king used to be able to say, hey, you know, hey, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, you can't do this, you can do this, you can do that. Well, now it was the right of Parliament or the House of Burgesses to now veto the crown and those appointments. 1689 was the English Bill of Rights. That's where we got freedom of speech. We got freedom to petition the king. We got freedom of taxation by royal prerogative. In other words, you just couldn't be taxed because this earl doesn't like you, or this duke doesn't like you. Then we got freedom to bear arms for self-defense in 1689. Now, in Virginia, the Declaration of Rights was actually written by Jefferson and before the Declaration of Independence, and it was adopted by all the colonies on June 12, 1776. And it really was considered the basis for a Bill of Rights. So, you know, we look at the Declaration of Independence and some of the things we wrote. Well, in Federalist Papers, number 84, Hamilton referred, you know, to all the charters of the British Constitution. It basically was going to be a basis of a lot of the things we had in our Constitution. You see, that's where government's only job is to protect and secure the rights of the sovereign. That's where that was born. So during that time, just before the Constitution, that was born. You know, the United States Constitution is a compact. We have to understand that that is a contract between sovereign and independent countries. Now, we have to start wrapping our head around this to understand jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. We have to start saying, no, no, we will not submit to you. I mean, no. I think that Shasta County, I think all the counties should have a day that they get together, and the school boards, just like, you know, and the folks, just like Richard was saying, you ought to have a day where you just pull all your kids out of school. Just pull them out. It's vacation day. That's an opinion, of course. And then something else you all need to realize is you talk to these boards of supervisors and these people, these senators and these assembly people. The only thing a politician understands is pain. And for the NSA that's listening or the FBI that's listening, I mean pain metaphorically. And that would be the loss of power, the loss of their control. That's what would make them really afraid. As long as the government is afraid of the people, we will eliminate tyranny. It's a matter of we have to say no. Three things. One, you can't fix California. Not in its present state. Number two, we have to make sure we protect the Second Amendment. Because frankly, it's the only way we have to protect the rest. And number three, there has to be, and that's why we need state split, a representation process that doesn't allow one-party rule and that doesn't have one senator for every million people and one assemblyman for every 500,000. That's ridiculous. We're 300 times worse than Texas, and they're worse than anybody else. That's ridiculous. What's New Hampshire like? One assembly person for every 2,000? Something like that? 3,000 maybe? You go knock on doors. I mean, you know, and that's people. That's not voters. You know, we have to come to reality here. We have to come to reality to understand this is not, in its present state, a fixable situation. And I would invite anyone to call into this program and or the next program, Sovereign Minds, or Kevin Cry when he's on, any program, and say, well, I have a better way to fix this. Tell me how it is. What we lost, maybe not we, but Republicans lost 3 seats in the great red wave. Hello, McFly. We got to wake up, and we really do. And I know that maybe this has been a little hard today, but gosh, folks, we're kind of running out of time. Look what they're doing to our kids. They've been doing it since 1999. We didn't even know it. Thank God for the mothers of America. Thank God for the mothers of America. They're standing up. All the conversations I had last week, I think I had one with a man. The rest were all ladies. Heading up groups, going to boards of supervisors meetings, going to school board meetings. Guy like Richard, okay, there's a good dad. There's a dad that gets in there and he says, you know, man, I'm going to protect my kid and I'm going to protect all the kids. I mean, whatever you think of Richard Gallardo, I mean, the guy is in there and he's fighting. And he is in there fighting. And it isn't a thing to where we're just, oh, gee whiz, you know, we're just going to fight. Yeah, we're just going to fight. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, okay, fight how? Oh, I know. We'll call a Democrat who wants this bill and change his mind as a conservative. Oh, you know, really and truly, how are you going to do this? Oh, I just, did I miss a call, by the way? I know Sissy.
Yeah, you did.
I missed Sissy, you see, huh? I was going to go to him. I didn't notice it. You're going to have to use that light over there, buddy.
I did.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
Sorry.
You just weren't paying attention.
Probably not. Dolores, what say you?
Good morning. I guess you're not paying attention to the light.
I wasn't. I'm not to the yellow light. I'm not paying attention to the yellow light. I run those all the time.
Yeah. Anyways, I just want to say that, you know, you know, Terry, as you know, that this corruption in the county has been going on for too long.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
We waited for so long. And so, you know, I get frustrated because, you know what, I know my constitutional rights. I know I have so many rights, you know, and I hate when people try to dictate my rights. And therefore, I would defend whatever it, however, and whatever it takes to let that, any person, to let them know I have a constitutional right. God gave me those. Until God takes those away, then nobody, you know, nobody can try to do that to me.
Yes, so, ma'am.
And it does take, you know, people who have the backbone, more balls than other people. And some people, I'm sorry, but that's what it's going to take. Somebody who has the backbone to be able to stand up to the government. And I do believe a lot of people know that I do have the guts to stand up against anybody, and I will not back down. And you know, and we're losing our children in the schools. So that's why I'm running for, you know, for school board. And that, even though there's three seats, but I will run because I will take that chance because our kids are important and nobody's going to, you know, try to tell me not to run. And you know, Terry, I won't put up with a lot of things and I won't tolerate when people try to dictate my rights because I know my rights.
Well, you're right about all of that. And I think the thing that we need to talk about is it's we the people. So we have to start uniting together on these things. I mean, one of the things that the Republicans seem to do or conservatives seem to do, and I've even heard this about a lot of people that are Christians, that they eat their own. And I think one of the things we have to start doing is uniting and getting this back. The first thing we do is not submit. I still think that we need to have a day or 2 days where we just pull all the kids out of school and see what happens. I mean, and I don't think there's that many moms that are actually good moms. I don't think there's any good any mom that's a good mom that wouldn't pull their kid out of school for a day. I mean, with all these things going on, it's egregious. It's every other day. The state has overstepped their bounds. And there was a fellow named James Otis, the junior, James Otis Jr., and he stood up. And he stood up against tyranny. And he stood up by himself. And, you know, Dolores, you have stood, you know, for what you believe in. And I respect you a lot for that. What we have to do is get together, all of us, to do what's best to make sure we regain our liberty. And remember, we don't have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights. All the Constitution does is protect those rights.
Right. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm always saying, and now I'm not a Republican. I'm independent because I don't want to be sometimes socializing with Republicans. The Republicans are not going to do what's right. And so I'm going to be the person who's going to be in the middle. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and I will not, you know, be part of anything that somebody thinks that it's okay, let's break the law, even though we're Republicans, you know. I'm not a Republican anymore. I went and changed my voting right, you know, rights to independent because that's how I feel. It's gone down to where I don't want to be socializing with people who think it's okay for people to break the law. I will not stand by anybody who thinks that's okay. So, and I will do whatever I can, even though I stand alone, and I have been standing alone for years, and I still don't see anybody, not even, I have to say, Terry, not even you have put me once on the radio when I was running.
Okay, Dolores, I'm going to have, I love you. I don't want to just cut you off, but I have to because I got a minute.
Okay, watch.
Okay, so, I think the thing we have to realize is that it is we the people. We have to realize that we cannot fix something that's unfixable. We'll continue this on Mountaintop Media. Go to mountaintopmedia.com, mountaintopmedia.com. Look at those podcasts. Time has come for 51. We need to get it done.
It's not our bill. We had no say. Don't serve us, you serve out of hate. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us, you have no clue, and still you're telling us what.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.